leaving his home within 30 days before Pesach, which many people do. People go away to their in-laws, to their parents, to their so whatever. So one has to do B'dikas Chometz. The Rishonim on that Gemara have a machlokes whether a bracha is recited or not. And the Ramon Shulchan Aruch asks that a bracha is not recited on a B'dika Mukdemes prior to Le'el Yudalit. Unless it's there, Pesach Shecholi is B'Shabbos, and then the B'dika is not done Le'el Shabbos, the B'dika is done on Thursday night, that's the din in the Mishnah. So then Midir Rabbanim, that's the correct man. That's not considered a, on the level of the Raisa B'dika. Even the B'dika on Le'el Yudalit is a B'dika Mukdemes, because this man of Bir Chometz is Er Pesach in the morning, not Le'el Yudalit. But Midir Rabbanim, this man is Yudalit, and if it's a Er Pesach Cholish V'Shabbos, it's Le'el Yud Gimel. And if one does the B'dika prior to that, then no bracha is recited. Now, if one has the opportunity to do, if you're going to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to your in-law, so you got no choice. But that person has an option, he can do the B'dika Le'el Yudalit, but it will be a little inconvenient, and it's, he would prefer to do the B'dika at some earlier time. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes some Achleikas Achreinim about that. Many Achreinim say, what's the problem? So you do B'dika Mukdemes and just leave out the bracha. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Dei HaCholekes, and he sort of likes, even though that's the minority opinion, but there's nothing wrong with it, he sort of likes that opinion, and he quotes the Mishnah in Trumas that Orum Lo Yitrom, a person who is not has no clothing on, is not permitted L'chatzchidah to be Mafrish Trum. He can be Mafrish Truma, he can say the Hafrosha B'Peh, he can Mafrish B'Machshava, Truma tells Machshava, but he can't say a Brocha. So the din is Orem Leitram because he's going to lose the bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Achreinim who argue that the same should apply over here. If you had an option of doing the B'dika Bizmanoi with a bracha, now you're going to do the B'dika Mukdemes Bali bracha, so you're going to be forfeiting the bracha, so L'chatchila, that's not right. It's not exactly the same as the case of Hafrosha Struma, because there by the Hafrosha Struma the din requires that this Hafrosha has to have a bracha. The Afrosha Struma always needs a bracha. So I'm naked, so I'm going to be Mafrish Truma, Bali bracha. So that's not right to do a mitzvah that needs a bracha, and I'll be in a situation where I won't say a bracha. Even you do B'dik Mukdemes, the Halacha says you don't say a bracha. So, I mean, I could have saved it to do the B'dika Bizmana, but still, if I do the B'dika Shaloi Bizmana, Mikoyim Lachain, no bracha is required. So it's not exactly the same. One can argue about the equation. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, Rav Achreinim hold that there's no problem. And Miut Achreinim, he sort of likes the Miut Achreinim. Miut Achreinim hold that it's not proper lachatchila because you're going to be losing the bracha. Of course, if a person is going to Eretz Yisrael, is going to a different time zone, so Pesach is going to begin 7 hours earlier than in New York, or if he lives in California, and he's going to Eretz Yisrael, Pesach is going to begin 10 hours earlier. So then it's a machlokes in Achreinim. Started in the 1800s, Machlokes and Achreinim, if there's a difference in the time zone, am I in violation of Bal Yerah Bayim Motzei if I'm in Eretz Yisrael 10 hours, my chometz is in California, so when it becomes Leil Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, do I already violate Bal Yerah Bayim Motzei? Well, I don't violate it until there's no issue of Bal Yerah Bayim Motzei until it comes Pesach in California. The nafkamin is, I asked the rabbi in California to sell a chametz for me, so he's going to sell a chametz like all the balabat in California time. So does he have to make a separate mechira for me to sell a chametz 10 hours earlier or not? So that was a big deal in Europe. So the practices that were machmer on that you should get the rabbi to do a mechira mukdemes and earlier mechira if you're going to be in a different time zone, and to make sure that he doesn't buy back, you shouldn't ask a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael to sell a chametz for you plane 10 hours earlier, because then he's going to buy it back a day earlier, he's going to buy it back after the 7th day of Pesach. He doesn't have any 8th day of Pesach. Or even if you have a whole group of Bnei Chutz Laretz, so the rabbi is going to buy it back on Matzoy Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, and you want to wait another 10 hours because my chometz is located in California. So you have to have a rabbi. A lot of rabbis know already. It's a standard procedure. They make a separate Mechira chometz where they sell a chometz earlier and they buy it back according to the latest month. If a person is relying, that most of us do, a person is relying on the Mechiras Chometz that the rabbi is doing, the Pashtus is that when you sell the Chometz, you're not yet to the mitzvah of Bir Chometz. Even if you hold Hashbasasa B'choldover, Hashbasasa B'choldover means that I destroy the Chometz. Either I burn it or I grind it up. Mefarav Zorah L'Ruach, Matalayam. But what if I didn't destroy the Chometz? I have the ton of chametz, and I sell all the chametz to a nachri. So is that, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Sharatin, he quotes some achareim say, that's the key of my mitzvah of beer chametz. The Pashtus, I think that most assume that selling the chametz to the nachri is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of beer chametz. It is the old hashbasasa b'chol dover. Hashbasa means to destroy it b'chol dover. Here you didn't destroy it. So the shaila is, I have a ton of chametz, 99% of the chametz, the rabbi is going to sell for me. 1% of the chametz, I'm going to destroy myself. So if I burn the chametz, the rabbi is going to sell chametz at 9 o'clock in the morning. I have to go to work, so I'm going to burn the chametz after the first minyan, whatever, at 7:30 in the morning. So I'm burning the 1% of the chametz at 7:30 in the morning. I still have 99% of the chametz. So then I'll rely on the rabbi. The rabbi is going to sell it. So the rabbi is selling the chametz. The pashtus is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of beer chametz. So what did I do last night? I said a bracha sheker d'shanim sasal al bir chametz, and the smach I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah bir. Is that a fulfillment of bir that I burn the 1% and I still have 99%? The pashtus is the mitzvah bir is to destroy the last amount of chametz that you have in your possession. So I did bedika last night, and then I find out I have a ton of chametz. So first I have to sell 99% of the chametz. If I'll sell all of the chametz, it comes out I didn't do any bir. I didn't destroy any chametz. So what did I say? Bracha last night, I'll be a chametz. Because it's not going to lead up. If I do bedikas chametz, turns out I have no chametz. So the bedikah itself is the mitzvah beer. But it turns out I have a ton of chametz. I found some chametz, and I know that I have a ton of chametz also. So the bracha only makes sense, I'll be a chametz, if ultimately I'm going to destroy the chametz. The ma'isa, I burn the 1%, then I sell the 99%. The pashtus says you have to do the reverse order. And the Shulchan Aruch it says, if you want, the Ramah says, you can burn the chametz leil b'dikah. You don't have to wait till the morning. Or if you want to burn it in the morning, you can burn it right away. Even though the Mishnah says, v'sorfim b'tchil ha'sheish. Sorfim b'tchil ha'sheish sounds like you have to burn the chametz at the beginning of, if you assume chatzos is 12 o'clock, now they just move the clock. So let's say chatzos is 1 o'clock. So sheish begins at 12 o'clock. Sorfim b'tchil ha'sheish means you have to burn at 12 o'clock. No, the Ramah said, if you want, you can burn in the morning. You shouldn't burn before davening. Okay, burn after Shacharis. Yeah, that's Bamed Ramamurim, that they didn't have a whole system, a setup like we have, that the rabbi sells 99% of everybody's chametz. They used to have in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, whoever had a liquor shop, so they would have the Chiris Chametz. Whoever had a grocery, whoever had a bakery, so they would have the Chiris Chametz. Private people, they didn't all have the Chiris Chametz. But if you have, everybody has a standard procedure of a Chiris Chametz, so that I thought the pashtus is that you have to wait to burn the 1% of your chametz after the rabbi has sold the 99% of the chametz. I think so. If the person has shares in a corporation, what does he do with the mechiras chametz? So, strictly speaking, in order to sell shares, they're dealing the machusa, their government laws. He can't just make kinyanim and declare that it's sold. Here, since the whole purpose of the mechira is just in order to avoid the bayi matzei, it's not really that it's going to belong to the other person. So we assume that the deed of machusa would never declare that the sale is not valid in such a situation. Like the gedolim used to worry in Europe, that the whole basic, you don't pay sales tax. The rabbi's selling a ton of chametz over here, selling everybody's litker and everybody's chametz, tons and tons of chametz. He doesn't charge any sales tax. They once brought him to court over this. Someone mastered to the government that he's not paying. Someone misnagin must have mastered to the government that he wasn't paying sales tax. So he explained, Adoni HaMelech, what? The whole thing is a haroma. It's a haroma that's valid. It's not just a game. It's a haroma that's valid. We're only selling it. We don't sell it with a tanai that he's going to sell it back, but it's self-understood he's going to sell it back. It's not really that we're doing business over here. So the government agreed in such a case that they're not interested in charging sales tax. So the same over here, the pashtus, all the government regulations that declare that the sale of shares in a corporation has to be done in a specific fashion, that's if you're selling the shares, that you're buying good luck, the other fellow's going to own the shares in the corporation. But if he's going to sell it back to me, the whole thing is just in order to avoid by Rabbi Matzah, Mistama, we assume that the Din of the Machusa doesn't get involved over here. We assume that the sale is valid. What if a person didn't sell his shares in a corporation? So if he has, let's say, every corporation has Jewish shareholders, not Shaykh. So you're going to say that everything is Chametz Shavah L'Va Pesach because a Jew owned it? So in Europe, the Gedolim, 100 years ago, they wrote about this topic. So they had different suggestions. So some Rab Dovidel, what's his name? One who wrote this, the Shelas David. He wrote the Piske Halachas on the Rambam. Friedman, yeah. What was he known as? I forgot already. Yeah. David Friedman. I forgot what he was known. He was a great goyim. So he writes in the Shelas David, in his Tshuvas, he writes that Mumer Dina Ka'akum sometimes applies even lahakel. Usually we apply it lahachmer. That's a mumer sheshachat shchitos en reila. Something like that. But do we ever apply mumer dina ka'akum lahakel? I can use him as a Shabbos guy. No, he's Jewish. He's still alaf al pishachati Yisrael. He's still Jewish. He can't use it lahakel. If he's a customer in my barber shop, I'm not allowed to shave off his pace. He's Jewish, you don't say mumer dina ka'akum. So he points out that sometimes we apply Mumer Dina Kakum, he quotes the Balei HaTesis. We sometimes apply Mumer Dina Kakum, even the Hokel, if it's a Din Derabbanan. It wouldn't be Mekel on a Din Deraisa, and a Din Derabbanan sometimes. So he quotes, for example, if I live in a building, I'm the only Jewish person in the whole building, all the other tenants are Nochrim. So the Din is in such a situation, I'm allowed to carry in the whole building, and there's no need to rent from the Nochrim. I can't make an Erev HaTeres with them. Because the Nochem, the Erev HaTeres only works if all the people are Shomer Shabbos. And you don't have to rent it. Usually the din is at the Nochri Yas, and here the whole din doesn't apply. So what happens? I'm not the only Jew in the building. There are another few Jews, but the other Jews on Chol Shabbos, before Esed, they don't keep anything. They're not going to Shul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Kaddish, Yizkor, Yahrzeit, nothing. They don't, even the holiest of the holy mitzvahs, they don't keep even Yahrzeit or Yizkor or anything. So then the din of Shulchan Aruch is based on the Balei HaTeres, that they don't ask. We say Mumer Dina Ka'akum, even the Hakel over here. So Rab Dovidel Karlina, that's how he's known. Rab Dovidel, he was the rabbi in Karlin. So Rab Dovidel Karlina, he was a misnagid. The Karlin were Karlina Hasidim, and they were misnagdim as well. So Rab Dovidel Karlina, he was the same time as Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim, they say Rab Chaim used to come early to the meetings of the Rabbanim, when the Polish Rabbanim used to have a meeting, in order to be able to stand up when he would walk into the room. He was a big guy. Rab Chaim Oizer once said that he was the greatest goyim there before the war, when everybody was when the Nazis started to kill everyone. Said Rab Chaim Oizer was reminiscing with Rab Velvel of Soloveitchik on one occasion. Rabbi Gerelich told us he was reminiscing about they thought everything was going to be destroyed, the Nazis were going to kill everybody. He was reminiscing about all the gedolim that he knew, and Rab Dovidel Karlina stood out as the greatest of all of the gedolim. He was the greatest goyim of all. So that's the kula that he has. He thinks that if the one who didn't sell a chometz is, let's say you have a fellow has a liquor shop, a Jew has a liquor shop, and he doesn't sell chometz, not religious at all, doesn't keep anything, he's not even a shutuf with anybody else. So Rab Dovidel Karlina is mekel on that. He thinks that mumer dina ka'akum, and I treat it as chemtza shalakum sh'over all of ha'pesach. That's quite a wild chiddush. He's known. He writes in his tshuvas, ein darki la'ayin b'achreinim. He doesn't. Someone asked him a question about Shagas Aryeh. So he says, "Ein b'chol hier Shagas Aryeh." The whole city doesn't have a Shagas Aryeh. "Ein darki lein b'achrein." Shagas Aryeh is also achrein. "Ein darki lein b'achrein." So I remember of Mendel Zaks used to be in the yeshiva. Mendel Zaks was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. So he once mentioned to us that Rab Dovidel Karlina writes he doesn't look in achreinim. So the minigolem is that we treat him as one of the achreinim, and we don't look in his farm either. So hardly anybody looks at Piske Halachas. They do use, because he has to pull him on the Rambam. The Shelas David, hardly anybody uses. Anyway, that's his kula. It's a questionable kula that you say Mumer Dina Ka'akum the Hokel. You say the Chemtza Shalak Meshavol about Pesach is Mutter. Very questionable. Rabitzel Panavizha was a very solid. Rabitzel Panavizha was wild. He was the biggest Rab Chaim held. He was the biggest Bama Chadish of the generation. But they were sometimes very wild. The Gedolim were very upset about his Chidush Dinim. They say he shouldn't follow any of his Chidush Dinim. So he has in the Sefer that they have from him, Zecher Yitzchak. Bitzok Plaza was the most outstanding Talmud of Rabbi Sol Salanter in learning in Psak Halacha. So he has the Pri Yitzchak, very solid shuvas, like detective work. He quotes what the Rashba says here and there and everywhere, and then he puts it all together and he shows you what the Rashba really said. A thesis, a whole document, a thesis there, says this and that, very solid. And Rabbi Yitzchak Lepanovich is Rabbi Yitzchak Rabinovich, his name was Rabbi Yitzchak Lepanovich. He had the wild chiddush ter. So the Zeche Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Lepanovich has the following chiddush. This is already not so bad. He says that notice of Eilei by Matzei quotes the Ramban Chumash. You have to have Shaloi Bishusai. It's only Shaloi. It's not Bishusai. There's no violation by Rabbi Matzei. This year the yeshiva is learning Bava Kama Perik Meruba. So in Perik Meruba, it's a famous Machleg Zabiechna Meshlokish. And in the beginning of Bava Metzia on Daf Zayin, the Gemara has this. The memory of Rabbi Yechanan, we pass like Rabbi Yechanan, that in order to be considered a full Bailam, to be able to be Magdish, and to be able to sell, and to be able to be Mafkir, and so on, to be paid a Maisa Sheni, you have to have Shaloi Bushusa. If something is Shali, but it's ain't a Bushusi, then I'm not considered a full Bailam. He had the same over here. In order to violate by Rabbi Matzeh, Taisus holds, and the Ramban Chumash holds, you have to have Shaloi. So he has a chiddush that if you own shares in a corporation, unless you're the major shareholder, unless you own 80% of the shares, but let's say you have 5% of the shares, so you can't come into the meeting in Balabatan and tell them, I want to do this, I want to do that. You can't take a bottle of schnapps from the liquor company and say, this is part of my 5%. You can't Balabatan at all. So even though you own the chametz, there's no violation about your Rabbi Matzah because it's ain't a Bishusa. Bishusa means you have accessibility to it. So here, based on the rules and regulations of the corporation, the owner of the Chametz himself, the shareholder, doesn't have access to the Chametz. So that he considered ain't a Bishusa. So lechatchila, we always insist that the Balabatim should sell the Chametz that they, if they own shares in a company. If the company is a bakery or the company is a store where they have Chametz Avada, you should sell the shares in the company. But even if the company is a clothing company, every company probably has a bottle of schnapps in the office that they drink once in a while. So you should really encourage everyone to sell all their shares in the company before Pesach, in order that you shouldn't violate by Rabbi Matzah. But to say the B'di'eved, that the chometz is chometz al Pesach, so that you have these stodim l'hokol. The one side was Rab David Karlina, that he says that if the fellow is a mumer, the fellow didn't sell. Sometimes it'll be a mumah, it doesn't observe anything, so then it's not called chametz al Pesach. The second side is that the only time you violate by Rabbi Matzah if it's shaloi b'shusoi, if it's ain't a b'shusoi not, so shares in a corporation we would consider ain't a b'shusoi. Then the third side l'hokal that often applies, this appears in the Sefer Aryeh Debei Eloi. Aryeh Debei Eloi is the Talmudic description of a tiger. So the Aryeh Debei Eloi was one of the Gedolim who was a Talmud at the Ktos HaChoshen. So he felt that his Torah is so fierce, he's like a tiger. He rips everybody apart and he wins all the battles. So he has a tshuva. He has a tshuva where he writes about a situation where the Jew owns less than, the Jew or the Jews own less than 50% of the shares in the corporation. So he says that min haTorah there's no violation about Yura by Matzah because the chometz is the tarubis with chametz chemtzah shal nochri. So the Jewish share of the chametz is the miyut, and the chametz of the nochri is the roiv. So the chametz of the Jew is batel b'roiv. So since batel b'roiv, so there's no bayura by matzah deraisa, because the min b'mino, all you need is roiv minatar. You only need shish midrabbanon. The only time there's a din of chametz shal rab pesach is if the owner of the chametz violated bayura deraisa. If he only violated bayura derabbanon, then there's no penalty. It's a penalty. Chomesh Allah Pesach is only a knas mid rabban. It's not a nisa deraisa. So the only time they instituted the knas in Sefer Shulchan Aruch, if the chometz was in violation of bayura deraisa. Yeah, so this is highly questionable. He himself asked the question against himself. There are mishnayos that say not so. Let's say a Jew is a part owner in a bakery, in a bake shop, and the Jew owns 40%. Of the company, and the Nachri owns 60% of the company. So you're going to say that the Jew share is always bottled b'roiv, and there's no chiyuv hafrash eschalo. The Mishnah say it's not so true. If the Jew share, let's say they bake 100 pounds of dough, 100 pounds of flour at one time. So the Jew owns 40%. No one bakes 100 pounds. Let's say they bake 10 pounds of flour. How much flour do you have to need in order to be chayv v'chala. So in America, we usually follow Rav, who is the head of the Ezra's Torah, Rabbi Henkin. I'm not all there. We usually follow Rabbi Henkin. He wrote in a sefer 50-60 years ago. He wrote in a sefer that if you need less than 3 pounds of flour, so we assume that that's less than the shear. Between 3 and 5 pounds of flour, you mafresh chala b'li broch. More than 5 pounds of flour, you mafresh chala with a broch. Roughly speaking, it's not 100% accurate. Roughly speaking, like that. So let's say the company, the bakery, does 10 pounds of flour b'vasacha, someone eating. And the Jew owns 10% of the 40% of the company. The Nachri owns 60%. So you have 4 pounds of the flour is chai v'chala. So then you mafish without a bracha. 4 pounds. It says in the Mishnah, you figure out what percentage of the dough belongs to the Jew. You don't say it's batel b'roi. There is no such thing. And the reason for it is because the Tosfos writes in Tmura. Tosfos quotes their Rebbe. They don't give by name. Rabbeinu Harav said, Marenu Rabbeinu Harav said, that you only say bitl b'roiv if there was a specific thing that was yadua, that it's treif or whatever, and then it was nesar. But if it was never mevurar in the first place, the Jew owns 40% of all of the, or the Jew owns 5% of everything in the company, but you can't specify which 5%, so then the whole principle of bitl b'roiv doesn't apply. The 5% is always going to be there. So the Ari Debei lawyer, if I'm not mistaken, he was this Talmud of the Tzoyis HaChosh, Ari Debei lawyer. He was the father-in-law of the Shinever. Shinever was the Divrei Yecheskel, the son of the the Divrei Chaim, Chaim Halberstam. So he was a chassidish, but he was a great. He was Talmud of the Ktzos, a great good. So he has a whole shuva where he quotes this Tosis and he does away with the application of Tosis in this case. It's problematic anyway. But these are the Tzadim Lahakal that people rely on.
Can we suggest about that puzzle that in Chaim Lachar's comments that they included their shares?
Yeah, they should always include their shares in corporations in their regular Mechiras Chametz, right? Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zechon Levrach, always used to encourage even the Balabatim, not just the Yeshiva, he used to encourage the Balabatim that they shouldn't rely on Mechiras Chametz for Chametz Bien. If you have real cookies or real spaghetti in the house that's real Chametz, you shouldn't rely on the regular B'dikas Chametz, he says. You should dispose of it. You should only sell Taruvas Chametz. And he gave the explanation. It's in a classical Poskim to have this. It's surprising that he adopted it. I don't know why. It must have been his family tradition. There is a Gemara, Masech HaShabbos, towards the end of Shabbos, where the Gemara says, we only rely on Harama with respect to Dinim Derabbanon. We can't rely on Harama with respect to Dinim Deraisin. So he said, no, Mechiras Chametz is clearly a Harama. It's a legal fiction. You're selling it to the Goy. In a normal kosher event, I don't sell spaghetti. I don't have a grocery store. I usually don't sell the spaghetti in my kitchen. Over here, I'm selling the spaghetti to the Nachri. Then I buy it back. The whole thing is clearly a haroma. So with respect to Chametz Bien, that everybody agrees there's Balyura Deraisi, now let it rely on a haroma. With respect to Tarubis Chametz, you can rely on the Rabbi Natan. The Rabbi Natan says, on the Abbeis Amin Aleph from Sochim, he comments on the Mishnah Elo Oivrin, that is, the Minatur, there is no Balyura Bay Matze on Tarubis Chametz. Elo Oivrin Me'al HaShulchan, not Elo Oivrin Balyura Bay Matze. You're not allowed to have Tarubis Chametz to eat on Pesach, but there's no Balyura. A concept that Rabbi Natan holds, that there's Tarubis Chametz with Osa Bachila Minatur, and you're not in violation of Balyura. There's only Balyura de Rabbanon, and there's only Balyura de Raisa if you have Chametz Bien. So even if you don't want to follow the Rabbi Natan, but we can rely on the Rabbi Natan, who says that on Tarubis Chametz, the Balyura is only the Rabbanon, with respect to permitting the Haram of Mechiras Chametz. So he used to encourage Balabatim to be Machmer for this. Sometimes he would only give his Chumris to the Talmidim and Yeshiva. He would make the Balabatim crazy with them. And in this, every single year, he used to encourage the Balabatim in Boston and Balabatim in New York to do the same as well. So many people have that practice, even though most of the Achrayim disagree. In Europe, it was commonly accepted there were Jews who were farmers, so they used to feed chametz to the cows. So they can't keep the chametz on Pesach, it's Balyura by Matzah. If they're going to sell the chametz to a goy, to give the goy instructions to feed my cow on Pesach, so I'm getting hanor, not allowed to get hanor from chametz. So the practice was, they sold the cow to the goy, and they sold the chametz to the goy, and they gave instructions to the cow, make sure you feed They gave instructions to the guy. Make sure you feed the cow, whatever, breakfast, lunch, and supper. Make sure you feed them chametz. And that's how they avoided Bali Matzah. This is outright harama. You're selling chametz bien, and you're giving instructions to the guy. And it was assumed that that was permissible. So there's a collection of chuvas by the Nesivis. It's called Nachlas Yankis. The Nesivis was a rabbi in the community, so he used to give sermons. So Nachlas Yankis is a collection of his drushes on Parshios HaShavua. It's quoted by the latest farm. And then he has some Chidushim Alashas, a slight Chidushim Alashas. And then he has a few chuvas. And then after the chuvas of the grandfather, of the author of the Nesivis, then you have chuvas by his grandson. It was also a big kamachot. So the first tshuva is to the rabbi in Buchach. Buchach is a big city in Galicia. And he says, look, you don't like my heter. So you want to be machmig zunta hate. My heter has been accepted all over Europe about selling the cows and selling the chametz. And there's no problem of harom. So he holds that there's no problem. Someone raised an issue. A young Talmud Chacham in America raised an issue. Apparently he wasn't aware that this was the common practice in Europe for many generations, that they sold the cow to the Nachrin, they sold the chametz to the Nachrin, they gave him instructions to sell it. So he pointed out that in the Shulchan Aruch it says that on Pesach, he understood it like this, on Pesach I am interested that the goy should feed the chametz to my cow, because after Pesach I want to buy the cow back. So he timed it like this, we're not permitted to sell, a Jew owns a factory, a Jew owns a business, let's say. He's going to sell a business to a guy and wants the guy to run the business on Pesach. So he sells everything to the guy. Why does he want the business to run on Pesach? He's going to give all the profits to the guy because he's afraid if they're going to be closed for 8 days, so then the customers are going to go to a different store. They're going to forget about his store. For 8 days they couldn't buy whatever. They couldn't buy spaghetti here, pizza here, so they're going to go somewhere else. So this Talmud Chacham says, so this is right to be kiyumai. I want the business to be running on Pesach. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, they wrote to be kiyum of the chametz is asur. So he wanted to ask this practice. Is a common practice that all the Jews who have businesses, they sell the chametz to a business to a nachri, and tell a nachri, keep on running the business, gizun tehid on Pesach, you're going to get all the profits from all the chametz on Pesach, and after Pesach is over, I'm interested in buying back the company. So that's a common practice. So Grad in Shulchan Aruch, it does say, this Talmud Chacham quote, it says that it's also, but it's a different case. If I'm in the business of renting out pots and pans to a nachri, I rent out pots to the nachri, and they cook non-kosher food in the pots. So if they would take an empty pot, a soup pot, they'd put an empty pot on the fire, the pot would burn. The only reason why the pot doesn't get ruined is because it has soup in it. But I know he's going to cook chametzig spaghetti. So it says in the Machaber, that's considered right to the kuma. I'm getting hanoah from the chametz on Pesach. The nachri doesn't rent the pot; it should just sit there. The nachri rents the pot; he wants to use it for cooking. I know he's going to cook spaghetti. He has a pizza shop or whatever. He always cooks spaghetti. So I'm getting hanoah from the chametz on Pesach. Says that's right to the kuma. That's us. Yeah, that's a different case. That's because the pot belongs to me, and I know he's cooking on Pesach. So if not for the fact that he put the spaghetti in, my pot would have been ruined. So the spaghetti saved my pot. So that's called getting hanoah from chametz b'pesach. But if I sell the whole company to the nachri, I sell the cow with the chametz to the nachri, and nothing belongs to me. I don't own anything. So you can't say that I'm getting hanoah. I mean, I'm out of the picture. I own nothing over here. You can't say that I'm getting hanoah from the chametz b'pesach. So it's the same by the shop. If the Jew owns a shop and he's afraid he's going to lose his customers on Pesach, he's going to be closed for 8 days straight because he deals in chametz. He sells the whole company to the nachri. He tells the nachri, keep on running the company. He sells to one of the workers. All the profits go to you. If the Jew is going to get most of the profits, he's getting hanoah from chametz b'pesach. He's not allowed to get hanoah from chametz. Even if the chametz belongs to the nachri. Says in Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to walk in the street near the bakery, and I'm going to enjoy the good smell, the good aroma of the freshly baked bagels, or the freshly baked cookies or something. So that's called getting hanoah from chametz shalakum. So if the Jew is used to be the owner and he sells the whole company to a nachri, he's going to get some of the profits, so then he's getting hanoah from chametz b'pesach. But he's not going to get any profits. The only hanoah he gets is that the company won't be out of business after Pesach. It will still retain all the customers from before. But on Pesach, I own nothing. I have no connection with it. It's an unwritten understanding that the nachri is not interested in running the business permanently. He just wants to own the company for these 8 days, and he wants to get rid of it. He can't afford to run the whole business. So that's the psak of the Nesivis that he writes in Siman Aleph and the Nachlas Yanker. His psak was accepted all over Europe. Everybody holds that there's no problem of right to the Kium over there.
Why would this be a problem by psak? You sell the psak and then you go out. Is that considered? Even though the Jew doesn't
own it, he's still getting kana from it. Uh-huh. This goes up on Pesach, then I buy it back after Pesach. I don't know. Got to think about that. Even when I buy it back from the Nochri. Yeah, but we don't give so much money. The Nochri only gives $10. That'll be discussed afterwards. How do you do the Mechiras Chum? Maybe ask Rabbi Willig when he talks about the Mechiras Chum. It's when you sell a stock and buy it back. Do you have to pay $1,000 instead of $20? Or is it enough just to give $20? He bought it for $10 and he paid back $20. That's a good question.
That would apply to anything then. What you're buying in a stock is you're buying, I guess, the hefta of stock. You're buying a piece of the company. It's not you're buying the money of the company. You're buying the company.
Yeah.
So how can you say that anything is, talk about the appreciating and depreciating
value. Yeah, that's a machlekes. That was a big machlekes in Europe, and it's still unresolved. If you have shares in a corporation, let's say this, it's a corporation that has a bakery. And I have shares in the corporation. Is there really Bal Yerub by Matzah? Do I really own? How do you view? The secular law considers it that I own shares in the dummy corporation and the corporation owns the chometz. But the owners of the shareholders do not own the chometz. So the question is, does the halacha recognize that? The halacha does recognize such a thing as a chalashem bailam. We always talk, I own something, we own something, the shutfit, but is there such a thing? A chalashem bailam is not a person, not a human being who owns it. So we have a concept of a chalashem bailim, a corporation. Hegdish owns things. It doesn't mean that God owns things. Hegdish is a chalashem bailim. Tzedakah. Tzedakah doesn't mean all the poor people in the city. This is mamon shel tzedakah. The gabbayim will decide what they're going to do with the tzedakah. But that's a chalashem bailim. So the halacha does recognize a concept of chalashem bailim. The question is, the big debate in Europe was, does the halacha recognize it when the din and the machusa says so? Maybe the only chalashem bailim that we accept, that we recognize, is hegdish and tzedakah. Maybe we wouldn't accept this concept of the chalashem bailim of the corporation. So that was a big machlokes. Meaning, we have to ribbis. A Jew has shares in a bank, and the bank is lending to Jews, and they're charging ribbis. Do you say they're lending? I'm a 1% owner. I'm a shareholder in the bank. I own 1%. If they lend $100 to a Jew, so $1 of the $100 is my dollar. They're lending my dollar to the Jew, and they're charging ribbis. Is that so? Or they say, no, I'm a shareholder in the bank and the dummy corporation. The dummy corporation is making all the ribbis. So that was a big machlek, it's unresolved. So we always go the hakma in both directions. There is a big issue regarding mechiras chometz. You have a lot of shops that are owned by Jews, and then they have a prominent rabbi does the mechiras chometz for them, and then they run business as usual on Pesach. They're selling the chometz, like they have deliveries and they're selling and buying and everything is going. I remember when I was growing up in the Bronx, a little child, I remember the Jewish shopkeepers would sell the chometz through the rabbi to a nachri, then they would have sheets over all of the breakfast cereals, all the groceries. They weren't selling those, not to Jews, not to non-Jews. They were religious Jews. They wouldn't sell the chometz on Pesach because the chometz didn't belong to them. And the taka wouldn't get the deliveries on Pesach. They wouldn't have deliveries of chometz on Pesach. But now you have people, they have a rabbanim, prominent rabbanim, they do a mechiras chometz mass production for everybody, and they sell all the chometz of all of these big companies, where the companies are having deliveries are made of Pesach and they're selling the chometz. It isn't. So they say, well, Rav Moshe Feinstein has in his first tshuva, I think in the original tshuva that he has in the first Igros Moshe, he's talking about the shopkeepers who have the sheets over the groceries, the favorites. He's talking about the guy who doesn't sell chometz on Pesach. So what happens if once a Nochri comes in and he insists he wants a box of Cheerios? So the Jewish storekeeper is afraid he's going to lose a customer. He goes and he sells one box of Cheerios. So Rav Moshe says, all of the rest of the chametz, the sale of Mechiras chametz is valid. He has a sheet on everything. And the Jew stole a box of Cheerios from the guy to whom, from the super in the shul, who bought all the chametz by selling the box of Cheerios. It's Yush, Vishini Vishus, whatever. He makes a whole explanation how it's a nickname to that guy. He stole the chometz, but the rest of the sale is valid. But the Shabbos Rav Moshe in the original tshuva doesn't talk about a guy who doesn't put any sheet. He's talking a guy. He's not selling a chametz. In the later tshuva, he made it mass production. Rav Moshe said it's okay, even if the Jew is running business as usual. The mechiras chametz is valid, and the fact that he's running business as usual, he's a ganav. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik was very upset. He thought that was utterly ridiculous. He thought that this is a chanum did in the muchach, that he never sold the chametz. There isn't even a harama of a mechiras chametz. A harama means that we're using a legal fiction, but it's legal. We're selling the chametz to the nachri, it doesn't belong to us, and after Pesach we buy it back. But if I go through a hocus pocus of selling chametz to the nachri, and on Pesach I'm running business as usual. So it's an imdar in the muchach that it was only a hocus pocus and meant nothing. He never did the mechiras chametz. There's a sif in Shulchan Aruch Choshe Mishpat about this. Let's say I own a fortune of money to Bali Chavis and they want to come and collect. I'm a wise guy, so I go and I write over all of my assets to my son, and my son is only 10 years old or 5 years old or 1 year old, whatever, and they can't bring him to it in Torah. But then who's running the business? So I'm running the business as usual. I'm the apotropis for my son. So the Mechaber quotes in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes, I think, a Tshuva Sarashba or something. He quotes a Tshuva from one of the Rishonim. If I'm running business as usual, the same as always, and I'm putting the money in my bank account, and I'm putting it in my son's bank account. So it's an umdar in the Muchach that there never was a Mechira. Everything still belongs to me, and the Baal HaChavis can collect. We declare that the whole giving over the Matana, not a Mechira, the whole giving over the Matana to my son in order to prevent the Baal HaChavis from collecting, the whole thing was just a fraud. And it was never chalter. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to taina. So the OU never permits that, because Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's a hoax. Chometz Shofar La Pesach is only a penalty mid Rabban. Machlokes HaTanoim, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon. And we pass in the Gemara, so we pass like Rav Shimon, that it's only awesome mid Rabban. And the Gemara there's a question how to read the Gemara M'sachim. The Mechaber quotes the Mechaber, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes. There's a machlokes Rashi in the tour, because chometz over all of haPesach is kal, it's only a penalty midrabbanan. So therefore, we make a list. It's b'taruvus. How much of a taruvus do you need? So the pashtus is that it's bottled beroyv, that you don't even need shishim. And the mechaber writes natsa that chometz over haPesach you need shishim, but it's not b'mashu. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that if you have a big shas atchak or you have a hefsid merube, then we would be makel to declare that you don't even need the shishim. But otherwise, we would say that Chomesh Rala Pesach, you need Shishim to be Meratim.
Just go back a little bit. When Rav Moshe said you're a Ganav, does that mean that you have to go and take that money that you sold the Hametz, and you have to take that money and physically go give it to the Goy there? If that's really what it is, then whatever he sold, then he should have to give all the profits of whatever he made over to...
He's getting Hanof from the Hametz.
But it's more than getting Hanah. He sold it, so then that money he should have to pay over the goy.
Yeah, you worried about the Ben Adam HaChavero. He should worry about both, Ben Adam HaChaver, Ben Adam HaMachon.
No, but I'm saying that Rav Moshe, it seems like it's kind of like a... that he's playing both sides of the line. If he doesn't physically tell them, well, now you have to go pay the goy for whatever you sold, because then he really is doing what Rav Soloveitchik said. Once you take the stock, you have to take it over.
Mm-hmm. Should be, yeah. Some people misunderstood Rav Soloveitchik's position. They thought that Rav Soloveitchik never believed the Mechiras Chometz. So I remember I once ate breakfast on a Friday morning. I remember by the bus, the young man who's in Boston now, who runs the shtiebel there, the bus and the Rebbe's son. Forgot his name, right?
Rav Naftali.
So he was telling me that's not correct. That Rabbi Soloveitchik every year for many years used to come to his father the Vostok Rebbe used to sell chametz. Rabbi Soloveitchik was not a practicing rabbi in the last years of his life, so he used to go to the Vostok Rebbe to Fashreib Nechametz to sign his name on the Shtar Mechira, on the Shtar Hashor, that he wants the Rebbe to sell his chametz. And he said he can show me 30 years worth of 25 years worth of Shtar Mechira that Rabbi Soloveitchik did sell his chametz. He just mocked him not to sell chametz b'yed. He'd only sell Taruvah's Chametz. He would only sell Chametz B'en. If someone has a liquor shop, if someone has a bakery, so then Rav Soloveitchik said, the proper practice is you should make a separate Shtar Mechira. You shouldn't do it with the Mechira Klalus. You should have a separate Shtar Mechira practice. That was his Chumah.
Ready? I'm sorry. What do we gain by having a separate Shtar?
to make it more serious. He recommended you should always dispose of the cookies and the cakes and everything. Give it away to an ochi, sell it, not on us to buy it back. Destroy it, sell it. But if you have a shop, so he said that Europe, the Jews relied on mechiras chametz. Real, like you sell the behemoth to the goy, sell the chametz to the goy, real chametz. So if that's your whole parnasa, you have no brera, you have to rely on the kula of this aroma. But he said it's not proper to use another chumrah. For private people, he said you shouldn't rely on mechiras chametz at all if it's chametz bien. And for people who have a business, that's what they instituted the whole mechiras chametz for a shop of chametz. He said you should make a separate shtar mechira as opposed to using the mechira klali.
If you yourself don't sell
chametz,
but your neighbor does,
the chametz
b'en,
mm-hmm.
can you just give them the
chametz
and they sell it?
I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right, unless you want to give it to them permanently. Like, I don't like to do mechiras chametz on chametz b'en, because I printed a whole essay where I explain why I don't think that it's correct. And my sefer declared so. I explain why I don't agree with Rav Soloveitchik. I didn't write that Rav Soloveitchik said it. I wasn't so fresh. But I wasn't such an insulting student. But I quoted that position, and then I explained why I don't agree that it's correct. So, and then he spoke about schnapps. So he said, on some occasions he said, what it says in Mishnah Berurah, that schnapps should be treated like chametz b'yad. Unless you have a liquor shop, so you have no choice. So I don't like to sell schnapps either. So my wife always gives all of my schnapps to my brother-in-law. He enjoys drinking schnapps, so he keeps it. But to give it to my brother-in-law and then to take it back, you have to pay, so I said, that's not right. I give it to my brother-in-law and he enjoys drinking it, whatever, when he has his happy occasions. Everybody always asks the shaylos about all the medications. the Rabbinical Council of America, the RCA, many years ago, maybe 35 years ago, I don't know, published a small yellow cover pamphlet, soft cover pamphlet. The work was done by, I think, two doctors. I forgot already the names. So they checked out all the medications and they tell you which one has kidneys and which one has chametz and so on. So after the whole thing was published, they told me Rav Soloveitchik was very upset. He said, why did they waste so much time publishing such a thing? Kidneys at dinner is that kidneys is bottle berois. As long as you have less than 50% of the tarus. So in all the medications, the kidneys is bottle berois. And anyway, the thing is not royal achila. And then about, as far as others have chametz in it, most of these medications are for people chodesh yesh b'sakana. So, what are we talking about over here? Anyway, so just to discuss a little bit about the medications, there is a din in the Gemara that if nevela srucha, nevela spoils, I leave a piece of meat out of the refrigerator for 3 weeks, and it gets rotten and it's spoiled and it's wormy, whatever, and a person would eat it, he would get a bellyache, and a nochi wouldn't want to eat it either. So the Gemara says after the pasuk nevela sheni ruya lager. Nevela that a nochri, a get toshav, not a get tzedek, a piece of meat that a get toshav wouldn't want to eat, so it's muta b'achila menater. When it comes to chametz, for some reason or another, it's a discussion. In the Rishonim, you have to have nifsa machila sakela. It's not enough nifsa machila sa'odam. In kol ha-tarikula, by all macholos ha-suis, it's sufficient nifsa machila sa'odam. And by chametz, you have to have, for some reason or another, nifsa machila sakela. So there's a big machalekis achranim, what defined as nifsa? So some achrayim say it has to be hisriach the hivish, it rotted on its own. But if you take perfectly edible chametz and you mix in chemicals and you make it biodayim, you're poisled biodayim, that's not called nifsam achilah. So this is not the generally accepted opinion. The accepted opinion is, Rav Soloveitchik said, Nachazarish said, and Amoshe said like that. And that's what most of the contemporary poskim assume. So even if it's poisled biodayim, bottom line, it's not loy l'achilas sodom, it's not loy l'achilas hakelah. Let's say the pills. Whatever you have in the pills, a behema would be interested in eating the pills. It has no tam. All the trace of pills have no tam. For kashrus all year long, the same thing for Pesach. All the pills are nifsa l'achilas hakelah. So the din is that there is a machloikas harishonim in the second chelik yeredeya. Beginning of the second chelik yeredeya, they call it a machloikas the ra'or in the rush. The ra'or and the Bedek Habayis on the side of the Torah Habayis writes that if you have trace of food that's nifsal me'achila sa'odam or nifsal me'achila sa'kela, whatever, it's muta b'achila, so muta b'achila v'nai maramin, that's the end of the story. Muta b'achila, there's nothing to discuss. The Rosh in Psochim says not so, that if you're going to sit and eat it, so you demonstrate that as far as you're concerned, it's royal achila. So that's achshavei, that's awesome at the Rabbanim. So in the second chelik yeredeh, the beginning, they pass like the Rosh. They don't quote the Ra'or and Bedek Habayis, they quote the Rosh. The Rosh doesn't quote the Ra'or either. They quote the Rosh Lalacha that it's also awesome the Rabbanah to eat because of Achshavah. But this Achshavah is only, the guy eats a whole plate full of it. The Nevela is Nifsal Me'achila, and he eats a whole dinner of Shoyni. He's going to get a bellyache later, but right now he's eating it. But if the guy takes one pill, he pops it in his mouth three times a day. How is that Achshavah? Achshavah means I demonstrate that as far as I'm concerned, subjectively, as far as I'm concerned, it's still Roy Lachila. So on the level of the rice, it depends on Adam Beinoni. Would the average human being consider it Roy Lachila? Roy Lachila Sakelev by Pesach. And Midrabbanim, we say, if I demonstrate that I eat it, so it's still Roy Lachila. But by taking one pill, it doesn't show that it's Roy Lachila. If you can rub it in your skin, or you can bathe in it, whatever, medications are medications. If you put it in your intravenous, you would take it that way. It's not that you're demonstrating that the thing is Roy Lachila. Eating it l'shem refua doesn't demonstrate that it's Roy Lachila. So that's the pashtus, that all these trace medicines are really kosher. Moshe writes in one shuva, he considers it such a double pashtus, he didn't even publish this as a separate shuva. It's tacked on to the end of a shuva in Chelek Eben Ezra, the last paragraph. And as far as what you raised an issue, he didn't even print it as a separate shuva. About all the trace of pills that they're all kosher, even liver pills that come mamish from Nevela, from liver from Nevela. He says the thing is Nifsam Achila, so it's not Roy Lachila's mutter. So he says, he recommends if you can find with a Hashgacha, and it's not so much more expensive, so Mehechataisa, so why not? You should try to avoid it. But if you can't find the kosher for a reasonable price, so all the trace of pills are really kosher. They say over in the name of Rav Moshe that he distinguishes as far as taking refuah the Shabbos. That you're not allowed to take any medications on Shabbos unless you're Chodesh Eim B'Sakana. If it's just a boy with a Mechesh B'Almi, you're not allowed to. So what happens if a person has an ongoing condition that he has to take all year long, for years and years and years, he takes medication. and he's not even a Chodesh Eim B'Sakana. So Rav Moshe says that that's not considered refuah. That's like, if he does it all the time, so that's considered part of his supplement to his diet. That's in Ksubis, you have like that. Balas chayber mezainis ishtoi, and balas chayber refuas ishtoi. So let's say the husband divorces his wife. The wife needs an operation. The husband divorces his wife. So he doesn't pay for the operation. No. Doctors diagnosed her while they were still married. So he has to pay for the operation even after he divorced her. It's chayber refuas ishtoi. She needed the refuah then. And then she's going to need medication for the next 3 months. So even after he divorces his wife, he has to pay for the medication. What if she has a condition, she needs medication for the rest of her life? It's an ongoing condition. She has to take pills for the rest of her life. So it says in the Gemara Ksubas, the Rishonim say, if it's an ongoing medication that she needs forever, that's part of Mezoinus. So Baal is not chayav Mezoinus Ishta. After he divorces his wife, she needs food, breakfast, lunch, and supper also. After they're no longer married, he doesn't have to pay for the Mezoinus. He has to pay the Ksubas, okay. But he doesn't have to pay the mezainah. So if it's a medication that she has to take forever and ever, that's considered part of mezainah. So Moshe Feinstein carried this over when he gave the refuah b'Shabbos. So that's what they say, that if it's you're not allowed to take refuah b'Shabbos unless you're chodesh eim b'sakana, that's the psak and shulchan aruch. So Moshe said, but if it's an ongoing medication, then it's considered a dietary supplement, then it's considered part of the achilah. So some say in the name of Rav Moshe that if it's an ongoing dietary supplement that you plan to take all the time, it's not that I need it, I have a cold, so I need it for the next 2 weeks to get rid of the cold, I'm taking vitamin C pills. No, the guy takes vitamin C pills twice a day, every day for the rest of his life. So then you're allowed to take it on Shabbos, it's not called refuah. And then they claim in the name Rav Moshe, then it's called Roy Lachilo Sodom, because that's considered dietary supplement. That's questionable. I don't know if the other Paschim would agree to that. The Pashta says that it's not. If you put it on the table, would the behemoth eat it? Would an Adam eat it? It's not Roy Lachila. Roy Lachila means that people would enjoy eating it. Even if you should assume for Hilcha Shabbos purposes that there's no Gzera Derabbanan on Refuah B'Shabbos if it's a dietary supplement, but it doesn't necessarily follow that it should be considered Roy Lachila Sodom. There was a big machlokes in Europe in the 1800s. They have it in America also. Sometimes people have problems of mice. So they have a mouse trap that has a cookie that the mouse will enjoy, a cracker that the mouse will enjoy eating, but it has poison in it, so the mouse will drop dead. So is that called Roy Lachila Sakelev? Because the mouse will eat it. Or is it called Ein Roy Lachila Sakelev? So this is a big machloikis. I think the majority held that it's called Ein Roy Lachila Sakelev because the mouse will die. That's a shaila. If you have these mouth traps, do you have to sell it with the chametz, or can you just leave it the way it is? As far as kashering pots and pans before Pesach, so the Gemara says whoever can afford it, I should buy separate Pesach pots and pans, and you solve the problem. If you can't afford it, then you got to kasher everything. So the rule is that so the Gemara has in the Gemara has on the list daf and Masechus Avodah Zarah. The Gemara has a contradiction between two psukim. In Parsha Tzav, it never says a word about libud; only speaks about hagolah. And then the end of by Giuli Klei Midyan, the end of Chumash Bamidbar, it says after they won the war against the Minyanim and they had all the non-kosher pots and pans, so some of them they had to do libud on, and some of them didn't. They did hagolah on. So why doesn't it say in Parsha Tzav also when you cook the korbanos in the pots and pans? And sometimes they cooked the korbanos, sometimes they broiled it. So if they broiled it, you should require libun. If you're not going to do libun, so the bliya in the kli is going to become nicer if it stays overnight. That's what it says in the Chumash. So how come in Parshat Tzav it doesn't say a word about libun? So the Gemara asked Akasha. So Abai says Yagad Olav Reyo. That's an expression from the Pasuk in Iyov. Yagad Olav Reyo. Once you get to the end of Chumash Bamidbar, you learn about the possibility of libun versus hagolah. Kibola kach polto. So the same applies to Parshat Tzav. We don't pass like Abai, we pass like Rav. It's Machloek Zabai v'Rav. And Rav says no. And Parshat Tzav is a terabola. At the time that I broiled the carbon in the pot, everything was kosher. I want to do a koshering of the pan to prevent the Nisa Noisa from setting in. So if I'll do the kosherization of the pan, this is the way Machloek Zarishanim had to read the Gemara, but this is the way we assume. If you do the kashering of the pan before it becomes noisa, that's machlek is the Rambam and the Ravid. And 2 days in Tosfos, the Rambam says you do the kashering ekev achila, immediately following eating of the korban when it still had terabola. So if you do a hagola on a pot that really should have required libum because I broiled the korban on it, so the tam that's going to remain is only going to be a tam kolosh. Then you want in the morning when Easter of Noisa should set in, you want an Isa Noisa to be chal on a Tam Kolosh, so that's the rule that an Isa can't be chal on a Tam Kolosh. But in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, when we're talking about Yuli Klei Midyan, so the Nochem, the Midyanim cooked real chaza, they cooked Nevelus Atreifis in the pot, so that was Isura Bola. So there the rule is, Kibola Kach Polta, if the Bliya was Aide Ha'esh, if the Bliya was by broiling, B'liyam Tzolos HaMayim, there was no liquid, then you have to kasher ayidei liman. So that is that's Rava's answer to the steer between Parshas Tzav and Parshas Giuli Klei Midyan. Whenever it's a terabola, so you never need liman, it's always good enough with hagola. So let's say I have a broiler, and I always used to use the broiler for cheese, or for flesh, and I want to make it parva. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Hilchas Pesach, he quotes from later in Hilchas Yontav, Ashkenazim have a meaning that you don't kasher from Fleishik to Parva, or from Fleishik to Milchik. Rosh HaShulchan denies it. He says there never was such a mini given by the Ashkenazim. The Sfardim for sure don't have such a mini. The Sfardim never accepted such a mini. So even Moshe Feinstein has a Chumrah, usually has Kulis. Moshe has a Chumrah, he says, no, to switch from Fleishik to Milchik or Fleishik to Parva, that's Medina de Gemara that's also. He interprets a Gemara Chulin. He says what the Achronim said is a Chumrah, is a minig that the Ashkenazim have is if it became fleshig by mistake, have a parva pot, and the husband was cooking once. The wife knows what she's doing. The husband made a mistake and he made a fleshig by mistake. So then the minig is that you don't kasher either. Most of the pots can hold not like Rav Moshe. In Europe, the Darkei Tshuva always has chumer. So here he's mekel. He quotes Moira Haroah that if the knife or the pot is basically parva, and then by mistake, by accident, someone made it milchig or fleshig, he says then the minig doesn't apply. The minig only is not the kasher from fleshig to parva. Fleishik to milchik, if it was made fleishik on purpose, not if it became fleishik by mistake. So let's say, leaving out all the chumras and whatever, sometimes we make them. So let's say I have a pot, I have a broiler that was used for kosher meat or for cheese. So the din is if I want to make it parva, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chasam Sofer, even though the Ashkenazim have such a meaning not to switch from fleishik to parva, but when you're kashering for Pesach, for Pesach, you're allowed to kasher because everything is chametzik. This I used to use. I used to broil hamburgers with bread on this. So when it comes to Pesach, I want to kasher it. So once you kasher it already, then you can use it for milchik. The minig only is that you don't kasher in the first place from fleishik to milchik. Once I'm kashering anyway for Pesach because it has a bli of chametz, then you can already switch it over whatever you want. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Tshuva from the Chasam Sofer. He says that that's what he personally used to do. When you kasher for Pesach, everything was hefker and you could do whatever you want. So when you kasher, let's say, from fleishik to parah, from milchik to parah, that's mamish aterah bola. So Rabbi Kivegi writes in the second beginning of the second chelik yerdei ha-dedidim of Liban and Hagola. So the Shach talks about if you have a fleishik broiler and you want a kasher, you have to do it libun, sometimes hagola, sometimes libun. And then Rabbi Kivegi says, what is he talking about? It's a hetera bola. Hetera bola, the Gemara says, it's enough with hagola. You never need libun. If you choose to do libun instead of hagola, it's sufficient with libun kal. You wouldn't require libun chomer. Libun kal is 550, and libun chomer is 950. It's a difference between night and day. It's a big. Our rabbins go to 550. That's why the rabbanim used to say 550. It's really less. It's a little less than 500 degrees. Libun kal. But because all the broilers in America normally go to 550, so that's why the Rabbanim said 70 years ago, 550 is Libun Kal. So the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos in Psochim and Daf Lamed says that Chometz Kodem HaPesach is also Hetera Bola, and you never need Libun. When you're kashering before Pesach, you're kashering Chometz Dikikalim in order to use them on Pesach. More correct, the Gemara says this, if you can afford it, so you have a separate set of dishes, a separate set for Pesach. And if one can't afford it, so then you kasha, so the Rabbi Tam says that you never need any libun, it's always enough with hagola, because chametz kodem haPesach is a terabola. And the Shulchan Aruch has not accepted that opinion. Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach, they talk after the time you need libun, after the time you need hagola. That's because the Ramban disagrees with the Rabbi Tam, and he insists that chametz kodem haPesach is isurabola. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a steer on this. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, whenever you're kashering a trefa kli ayde hagola, so you always have a problem. Tosfos raises the problem, the last daf in Avodah Zarah. Let's say this is the trefa kli, so I'm going to kasher it in burning hot water. So the trefa bli is going to go out into the water when it's bubbling hot. What's going to prevent the trefa bli from coming back in? So one opinion of Tosfos is no. The pot only is boleya other flavors that are in the water. The flavor that it just spit out is not going to be boleya back, based on a Loshon HaGemara in Chulin. So Tosfos makes fun of that. What, the pot has Ruach HaKodesh, it knows these beliefs should be Bolei, and the other beliefs can't be. The Chichul de Nevi'ahi, Tosfos uses the Lashon. What, the pot is a Navi? The Chichul de Nevi'ahi knows not to be Bolei. It's ridiculous. Of course it's going to be Bolei back. So what do you accomplish by making Hagola? The Trefa B'li is going to get spit out into the water. It's going to go back into the pot. So Tosfos says you got to do either one or the other. Either you have to have Shishim in the water. You have to have a lot of water. Shishim in the water can negate the thickness of the pot. So the bliya goes out, it becomes batel b'shishim, so true gets back nivla again, but once it's nivla back in, when it's nivla the second time, it's already been this batel b'shishim. Or you have to have that the trefa kli should be ein ebed yomo. So if it's ein ebed yomo, then I tell you, you don't have to kashu at all. The whole need to kashu is only midi rabbanon. Gzeir ein ebed yomo, ata ben yomo, that's the list dafen avodah zarah. So that gzeir the rabbanon, Tosfos says, was only introduced because the tchilas ha-bliya was l'shvach in the pot. So I have to kasher the pot. But once I kasher, the bliya goes out, even if you don't have shishim in the water. Bliya goes out and comes back in. Oh, now the tchilas ha-bliya is lifgam. Since the tchilas ha-bliya is lifgam, so it will never go there. No, it's in time lifgam. They will never go there. So it says in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach, this is only when you're kashering trefa things all year long from trefas. But if you're kashering for Pesach, it's a chetera bola. So you can kasher without shishim, and it doesn't have to be ene ben yomo, because the bliya goes out into the water and it comes back in without shishim, but it's a not by not. The chametz dika bliya in the pot is tam rishon, goes into the water is tam sheni, and it goes back into the pot is tam shlishi. So that's a not by not, even though we're machmer not by not ayidei bishul. We're machmer, like Tosfos quotes in the name of the Rivon, Rashi Sanalo, but the Shach points out from the Rishonim, if it's a not by not, even though it's ayidei bishul, then we're matter, we do it all the time. So that's the standard accepted psak for generations and generations. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Everybody knows. You look in the kids of Shulchan Aruch, you look in the Chayyadim, everybody knows that. When you're kashering for Pesach, we treat it like hetera bola. We don't treat it like, on the one hand, we're machmer to require libun on a lot of pots on Pesach because we say it's isura bola. We adopted the Ramban Shita. On the other hand, here we're maker, we treat it as hetera bola. We say that a not by not is mutas. So this is a kashu, all the mefarshim is kastir and Shulchan Aruch. The Taz asks and the Biragur, everybody has the kasha. All the nice Kelim on the daf has the kasha. But whatever you answer, that was the common practice. Comes the Chafetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah, and he reverses the whole psak. He turns the whole world upside down. He says you shouldn't kasha any Chomets Dikki Kelim unless it's saying a bit Yomah. You got to make sure you have Shishim. All the dinim from all traces, he adopted over here. He says we should be Choshish for the Ramban all the way. That's what some have Tarumas against the Mishnah Berurah. He overturned the whole psak on the Kubel for centuries. That was the Pesach in the days of the Bali Ataz. Everybody knows when you kasher in for Pesach, with Mekel, you don't need Shishim, you don't need that it should be Eina Ben Yomo. So is it right that in the year 1900, he reversed after 900 years of following the Pesach, whatever, 700-800 years of following the Pesach? Anyway, in the Shulchan Aruch, they say like this, Hilchos Pesach, the famous din, if you have a frying pan, let's say a goy was frying ham and eggs, so he puts in a little oil to make sure that it doesn't burn. So on the one hand, you can say that it should be enough with Hagolah, because he always has oil. On the other hand, he only has a very little bit of oil. Maybe it should be treated like broiling, and I should require libut. So that's a machlekes rishonim, and the Torah Sabbath machlekes whether if you fry something with a little bit of oil, if it's deep fry, let's say donuts are done in a deep fry. Deep fry is mamish bishul, has a few inches deep of oil, so that's a bishul. But if it's a regular frying, not deep fry, so that's a machlekes rishonim. So we usually machmer in Yeruday at the beginning of the second chelik. We are machmer that you need libut and saranaf with hagola. So the Mechaber writes in Hilchos Pesach, if you have a chametz dika frying pan, that is sufficient with hagola because it's a sex faker. Some of the Rishonim hold that chametz kodem haPesach is terrible, so you never need libut. The Rabbeinu Tam holds like that. And even though we're machmer like the Ramban against the Rabbeinu Tam, we're not 100% convinced that the Ramban is right. We're choshish for the Ramban, we're machmer. But over here, many Rishonim hold that a frying pan, even for treifas, is sufficient, but even if it would have been Isur Bala, would be sufficient with Hagala, you wouldn't need anything in Liban. So Mitam, it's Yerif Hashitas, like a sex faker, we make it over here, and we say that it's sufficient with the Hagala by Pesach. And then the Ramah writes, and whenever Hagala is sufficient, and instead of doing Hagala, it's easier for your purposes to do a Liban, so then we would say, a Liban that's substituting for a Hagala, Mikra didn't would have been enough Hagala, so then Liban Kal would be sufficient. You wouldn't require a Liban Chomer. Liban Chomer is 950, and Liban Kal is 550.
Really? Is there a time you need for Liban Kal?
Is there what?
Amount of time that you need to leave the...
How long does it have to be 550? A few moments. It's because turn it on for a second, it doesn't mean that it became 550. You have to wait till it really reaches 550.
Right, so if the oven is preheated at 550... I can just stick the
kli
in and then take it right back out?
The kli has to become 550, not just enough the air. So you have to leave it for a few seconds. You have to ask someone who knows physics, how long will it take that the metal should reach 550?
In
Sinan Kufir
of Yoredeya,
Tzitz Chesed,
Rama says that Adavar Sheishwa Matirin, it's good to be machmir not to rely on a fake paper.
I think the Ramah there says we don't pass like the Ramah. Ramah holds that chomet is davish eishn l'atirin, and then the Ramah says we don't follow that Ramah. We treat chomet like a davish eishn l'atirin. Yeah. Years ago, it was a common practice let's say you have a kli cheres. And the klicheres has a belia of treifas, a chametz, whatever. So you can't do hagol, you can only do libut. What happens if the belia and the klicheres was betzainen? A belia betzainen is not ayidei ha'esh at all. It's ayidei kavush. I have, let's say, glasses. And the glasses, sometimes you have a drink in the glass that has a little bit of a chametzik ingredient in it. That's not botel b'shishim. So the glass was balea of the klicheres. We're machmen to treat the glass like klicheres. The klicheres was balea al yedei kovish kemivushal. So the Gemara has the rule kibola kach poltos. We determine sometimes you need libun, sometimes you need argola, and sometimes mila v'yiri gimel yamim is sufficient. Now, what is mila v'yiri gimel yamim? So this was years ago. The Jews were poor. A lot of religious Jews were poor. So a week before Pesach, they would take all the chametzik glasses that they used all year long, and they would fill up the bathtub full of water, and someone had to take a bath once in a while, so they would go to the neighbor, whatever, and they'd have a big container that was full of water, and they would put in all the chametzik glasses, they would soak it for slightly more than 24 hours, then pour out the water, fill up the container again with water, soak it for slightly more than 24 hours, pour it out. That's called mila v'yiri gimel yamim. Each time you soak the glasses there for slightly more than 24 hours, then you change the water, you soak it three times. It doesn't have to be consecutive days, but it has to be three times 24 hours. So some Rishonim assume the fact that Mili Viri Gimel Yamim is the way to kosherize the Kelim that had a Bliya B'tzonai, they Kovish, it's a right that Kovish Kemavushal needs a Bliya of 3 days. It needs 72 hours. So that's the opinion we don't accept. There are three opinions in the Beis Yosef. How long does the tracer liquid have to be soaking in a container to declare Kovish Kemavushal? The Gemara's Lashon is, Kitara Lekuli Yoyma, if it soaks all day long. The Gemara doesn't say soaking 3 days. Some Shem said, no, it has to soak 3 days. Otherwise, why do you need Mili Viri Gimel Yamin? So it's a right that it's 72 hours. So the 72 hours, we don't pass like that. Some Shem said, Torah like Kuli Yayma, all day long, means 12 hours. A day that has 24 hours, calendaric day, half of the day is the nighttime, half of the day is the daytime. So soaking all day long means 12 hours. So we don't accept that opinion. We pass Kuli Yayma a day as soaking 24 hours. If something is Kovish Kamilusha, with the soaking for 24 hours, but Tainan, so then it has a Bliya. And then you want to get the Bliya out, you have to have Mili Viri Gimel Yamim. So the Gemara, this is basically a Yerushalmi has like this. Mili Viri Gimel Yamim only helps if it's a Bliya B'tzoinen, but then it even helps on a Kli Cheres, where even Hagola wouldn't help. Since the whole Bliya was B'tzoinen, so Mili Viri is good. If Mili Viri is good, so maybe Hagola should also be good. Mili Viri is hardly anything there. Maybe Hagola should be good in such a case. So that's a machloekis in Rishon. We paskin yes, and Shulchan Aruch we paskin yes. If you don't want to waste 72 hours of your time filling the water and changing the water, making everybody crazy, and not using the bathtub for 3 days in a row, so you can take a kli cheres and do a hagola. Normally we declare you can't do a hagola on a kli cheres. Atar heidal kli cheres any yaitim day daf yirion. But if the whole bliya was only a bliya b'tzainen, and the halacha allows you to do a mil of yirion to get it out. So a hagola is better than a mil of yirion. That's how we paskin in Yerid. So that's a lot of people do that. Years ago, a lot of people would do that. They would do a Hagol instead of doing a Mitzvah Yiru because it's much less time. There is a Machlekes in Tosis and Chulin. How do you determine whether something needs a Hagola or a Libun? So let's say I have a pot that was Balei 10 times Nevela. So 9 out of the 10 times it was Balei because they were cooking Nevela, and one time they used it like a baking tin. There was no water. So you say because once it was Balea, let's say it was Balea 100 times non-kosher food. 99 out of 100 times it was Ayidei Bishul, the Mashkim, the Amtsos HaMayim, there was liquid there. And once out of 100 times it was Balea Amtsos HaMayim. So that's a Machlekes in the Rishayim. So many Rishayim say you go Basa Roif Tashmishay. If most of the times that was Balea was the Mayim, so then we're makel to say that Hagol is enough, you wouldn't need Libun. Yeah. So the question is, it does make sense. What if you only cooked it once? What if I only once used it for treifas? B'liyam tos hamayim. So you need libun. So just because I used it another 99 times with roitiv, so all of a sudden you don't need libun. So the answer is, you're only talking ene ben yomo. You're only talking kli ene ben yomo. And kli ben yomo, it doesn't make any sense. If I cooked 100 times in a pot, once I did b'liyam, 99 times with mayim. So of course I'm going to need libun. How could you be making? The answer is you're talking about a cliche, ene ben yomo. I mean, at Torah there's no problem. The whole problem is gzeira ene ben yomo at the ben yomo. So what's the gzeira? So the Rabbanan said, if you're going to use a cliche ene ben yomo, people are going to start using a kli ben yomo without kashering. So if the rove, if the rove of the hishtamshus of treifas was ayde mayim, so then there the Rabbanan, to satisfy the din, the Rabbanan is enough. If you do Hagola, you don't have to do Libun. Also, this is by Medvar Amum, this is good by all other treifa pots and pans. That if I have a treifa pot that's Eina Ben Yom and I'll cook some kosher food in it, it doesn't ask a bit of it, because it's Eina Ben Yom, it's Nois and Tam of Gam. Nois and Tam of Gam is Mutter. But on Pesach, the Ramah is Machmer. Machlok is the Mechab and the Ramah. Mechab, Paskin, Rover, Rishayim, say, even the Chometz is the Mashu, but Nois and Tam of Gam is Mutter. No problem. And the Ramah is Machmer on Nois and Tam Lugam. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Ramah from the Darkei Moshe that not only is he Machmer on Nois and Tam Lugam, he's Machmer on Eina Ben Yomo also. One could have distinguished Nois and Tam Lugam is also, but Eina Ben Yomo is Mutter, Eina Ben Yomo is Garnish Ben Garnish. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the tour that he asks, even Achametz Dikapat Eina Ben Yomo happens every year. Somebody calls me up with a shot. The wife went shopping on Chol HaMoed, and the husband was all alone in the house. And by mistake, he took a chametz pot, which is Eina Ben Yomo. It hasn't been used for chametz for the last couple of days, first day Pesach, and he cooked something in the pot. So does it aser or not? So the Rama says, yes, it asks, the Kli Sheni Ben Yom asks. So on Pesach, this whole Cheshbon doesn't make any sense. To go Basarov Tashmisha. So that's why the Rama says on Pesach, we don't go Basarov Tashmisha. Because even if it's Eina Ben Yom, it'll still Aser. Even if he ever did Aser. So Eina Ben Yom doesn't lighten, doesn't mitigate anything over here. So the Rama by Pesach says you shouldn't go Basarov Tashmisha.
How's Rav hold on plastic? I know that Ravel does, and Yerushalayim holds that it's like Kleferis, which would be great for Sephardim and horrible for Ashkenazim. So
if it's like Kleferis, then you can't kasher it. You can't do Hagolik.
No, I'm sorry, not Kleferis.
Kleferis. Kleferis is Ashkenazim, I'm Ahmed to treat Kleferis also like Kleferis.
In
Sephardim hold that Kleferis is not Balei at all.
Right, but I'm saying about plastic.
Yeah,
so he says that it's
that is not Balei at all.
It's just plastic,
it's like Ferris. No, the Ashkenazim, the Ashkenazim, Ahmed, that plastic is Balei. I'm most told that you can't do Hagolah. Ramosh is Machmud for Pesach, not to do Hagolah on plastic. But all year long for Trefus, he's Mekel. The OU, they usually make even for Pesach, that you can kasher all your day Hagolah plastic.
Ashkenazim, Machmud, it's like Ferris. Pesach? Or all
your that's the question. The Ramo only quotes it here in Hilchus Pesach. So some Achrayim claim that it's only a Chumra Dechamit, and the Pim Gadim says not so. Pim Gadim says no, that it's all year long. The Ramo, most of the dinim, 95% of the dinim of Hagol and Liban are here in Hilchus Pesach, and then there's a little bit at the beginning of the second Chelik Yerday, and it says, look, in Hilchus Pesach we covered everything there. So that's the question. This din that the Ramah wrote here, did he mean to, that tzchuches were machmer, did he mean that it's for treifus or not? So I think most assume that the Ramah meant it all year long. And a minority assume that it's only a chumran Pesach. Yeah. Okay, I didn't leave any time for anybody to ask questions. Okay, I apologize, I used up all the time. Kidneys. I remember once someone from Teaneck Taka called me up all furious. He came home from the office on Chalamoid to eat dinner. And his wife, he's ready to divorce his wife. His wife went shopping and she bought corn on the cob and she cooked it in the pots and he made the pots trace. He made all the pots trace. What's he going to do? So I, because the corn on the cob is kidneys, yeah. So I told him the corn on the cob does not buy you up by mutter. They put it away in the refrigerator or the freezer. You just shouldn't eat it. And then the din is that kidneys is bottled berayv. You don't need shishim. And the pot garnished. You just wait till the pot is ein ben yomo. And then you can use it. You don't need any shishim afterwards. The gzera ein ben yomo to ben yomo in the Gemara, you only find it when the pot was treif on the level of the rice. So what if the pot was only treif mid the rabbanon? Someone cooked some treifus in a pot and he said the rabbanon. So is it right to make Gzeira Eina Ben Yom Ata Ben Yom even when the Holy Spirit was only the Abban? Maybe it's Gzeira L'Gzeira, maybe you have no right to make Gzeira. So there's a Shach and Yerid there, one line Shach, and says yes, Gzeira Eina Ben Yom Ata Ben Yom even applies if the whole Issa that you cooked in the pot was only in the first place, was only in Issa the Rabban. It's not a problem of Gzeira L'Gzeira. So on the side of the Yerid there, Reb Shlomo Egan, the Gilui Marsha, refers you to Nadi Behuda. Nadi Behuda is not happy with the Shach. He thinks that it's not correct, that if the Issa that was cooked was only an Issa de Rabbanon, it's a Gzeira L'Gzeira to be Machmer. You don't have to be Machmer. But we follow the Shach, even though it's a good argument, but the common practice is like the Shach, that Eina Ben Yomo, you have to kasher, even if it's only Treif, Machmas, and Issa de Rabbanon. But what if it wasn't even an Issa de Rabbanon? What if it's only an Issa Mitam Minig? So then there's a Shach in the beginning of the second Chelik Yerodea, Kuf Chafalof or something, where he quotes a Tshuva from the Ralbach, Mar Ralbach, Rav Leib Ibn Chaviv, that if the kidneys, no, he's not talking about kidneys, he's talking about something else, but it's the same as kidneys. If you cook kidneys in a pot on Pesach, you don't have to kasher the pot, you just wait till it's a Ben Yomo and Fartik. What if by mistake you cooked something else in the pot when it was a Ben Yomo? So the dinners are on kidneys, you don't need shishim. It's enough with Roib, that's a Ramo. Ramo says the kidneys is bottle berayv, you don't need shishim.
You need rolls in the pot next time you're cooking it?
You always have rolls. Whatever you're cooking liquid in a pot, the bliya of the kidney is going to go in. How much bliya could there be already? You know, rub you're always going to have. We assume that in a normal pot, you usually don't have shishim. So approximately, you usually have about shloshim. You have usually half of shishim. Unless it's a gigantic pot in the factories, you have gigantic pots the size of this room and bigger, so then you'll have shishim in the product against the thickness of the walls of the pot. Well, usually you have roid, but you don't have shishim. So if the pot only became treif, aide kidneyus, so then whatever you're going to cook in the pot, even ben yomo, is not going to be osa bachil, because the kidneyus is bottle of the roid. You just wait till it's tainu ben yomo, and you don't have to divorce your wife. That's my talk. Doesn't have to divorce his wife. Okay. Make sure you sell your chametz properly, and then enjoy your Pesach.
What about Ashkenazim and Sephardi Tzara Matzah?
I didn't think it was a problem. I didn't think it said in Shulchan Aruch that the minig is we eat matzahs. We eat these kind of matzahs. I don't think it's a violation of our minig.
Okay.
Does it taste good?
I know. I ordered a box.
Oh. Someone gave me one last year to taste, and then he told me the instructions how to heat it up before Pesach. It didn't work. I burnt it. I don't know, I think I burnt it. It tasted awful. I gotta try to find out what it tastes like. Yeah.
Okay, everybody's invited for dinner.
Rabbi, I don't have a problem getting sworn next year. Thank you.